United States v. Lopez, United States v. Doe. Mr. Margulis and Numa, good morning. You have your seat reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal, and you can begin whenever you're ready.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Zachary Margulis Onuma, the lawyer for Javier Lopez, who is the appellant defendant in this case. So on June 20th of last year, we had the sentencing in this case. On the very same day, the law that governed that sentencing changed. The judge at the time correctly, under this court's precedent in United States against Williams, took into account the retributive factors as a general matter of 3553A of the Title 18 of the U.S. Code, and came to a conclusion on a sentence that was higher than either of the parties asked for, of 24 months. That same day, Esterhaz was decided, and the district courts were instructed not to take into account the retributive factors of 3553A in the context of a sentencing for a violation of supervised release. There's no way I could have known that, the government could have known that, or the judge could have known that at the time. And what we're asking for today is this court to remand to give the judge a chance to sentence Mr. Lopez again based on the correct interpretation under Esterhaz of the statute governing the sentencing.
Esterhaz didn't change our law. Esterhaz didn't change the law of this circuit. We had always said that it's the seriousness of the breach that is the focus, not the underlying conviction. And obviously, the statute itself leaves out the 2A. So, what indication is there that the district court did what you're suggesting? The district court did cite 2A, but it specifically left out the word offense and substituted the word violation, right? It said the seriousness of the violation.
Oh, only in the first in the first time he mentioned it, yes. But then he goes on to mention for the sentence imposed to reflect the need to promote respect for the law. He's not limiting that to the violation. And remember, this is a murder case. So my client had only gotten 13 years for a murder. And then he went out and violated. And
well, isn't promoting respect for the law also deterrence, right? Doesn't that promote respect for, isn't that a reference to deterrence?
But promoting respect for the law and providing just punishment were specifically, in Esterhaz, set factors that could not be taken into account.
Well, Esterhaz was very clear. The government cited the footnote that said you can't consider the seriousness of the underlying offense, but they're not addressing whether or not you can consider the seriousness of the violation, the retributive factors as it relates to the violation itself. They specifically said we do not address that, right? So how could it be plain error?
Because based on what he said, he is considering the...
He's considering the seriousness of the violation. He clearly said that.
Right.
You're not suggesting...
But he's also...
You can no longer... A 2A refers to this to reflect the seriousness of the offense. So you can't consider the seriousness of the underlying offense when you're imposing a sentence on a supervised release violation, but you can consider the seriousness of the violation.
So
right?
Maybe we can agree.
Okay. So that's what the district court said. I'm considering the seriousness of his violations. This is Appendix 91. The need for the sentence imposed to reflect the seriousness of his violations.
And then he goes on to say the need to promote respect for the law and to provide just punishment. And those are both factors that Esterhaz said you can't consider.
But that applies to a violation of supervised release.
I don't think that was clear. I think it was plainly not, actually, which I have to show. I agree on the standard of review because the district judge focused on the leniency he had previously shown in sentencing my client to only 13 years for a murder. So
because he put and in granting supervised release under the terms he did, provided he was trusting the defendant.
Yeah.
To behave and clearly a breach of trust is properly considered on a violation.
Absolutely. Absolutely, but why he went beyond. But he
isn't that the answer here?
Because he went beyond considering the breach of trust and considered the need to promote respect for the law and to promote just punishment. And those are both things that Esteros said you may not consider in this context as opposed to a new violation. If they wanted, if the government wanted to punish Mr. Lopez in order to promote respect for the law and provide just punishment, it could have just charged him with the new drug trafficking that he admitted to in the violation. They chose not to. And actually, remember, they asked for a sentence under 24 months, and the judge settled at 24 months. So this really did have an effect on the ultimate sentence. Just to address, I want to clarify and make sure that we're on the same page with respect to Williams. So, and the law previous to this in the Second Circuit was quite clear that the judge, that in Williams, this court said that the sentencing judge has to consider all of the 3553, has to consider the enumerated 3553 factors, which exclude the retributive factors, and may consider the retributive factors. So Esteros clearly abrogates that. It's clearly a change in law. If Judge Gardefee were to sentence Lopez today, as opposed to on June 20th, or better, on June 19th, because that's the day the case came down, he would have to exclude explicitly, he would have to exclude from his consideration these retributive factors, 100% clear with respect to the underlying violation, underlying crime, and
there's
also
no
under the concurrence.
When he referred to the seriousness of, well, the seriousness, he never referred to the underlying offense. There's no point in this transcript when he was talking about how seriousness the violation was that he ever referenced the underlying offense.
Yes.
And as Judge Walker pointed out, he did mention prior leniency later, but that was in consideration was like, look, you were shown prior leniency and you went back and did the same thing again. So that could be an indication of like deterrence. You've not been deterred. There are several points where he says, you've gone back to doing the exact same thing. You've gone back to, so.
Esteros doesn't apply to that situation where there's a reference to the prior sentence as being lenient, and then the defendant breaches the trust that's placed on him and supervised release.
Your Honor, the same terminology was used, I believe, in Esteros, that the district judge in Esteros focused on the leniency of the prior offense as part of the reason that it was clear that he was considering retribution in sentencing on the violation. But I think it does. The point on leniency is that it is referential to the old offense, and looking at all of the facts and circumstances, there was frustration from the judge, sure, about the current conduct, but also because he had been so lenient in the past. And he said that, I think clearly enough, that one of the reasons for my sentence here is to promote respect for the law.
That supports a breach of trust analysis, the fact that you've been lenient in the past.
But what I'm suggesting is the breach of trust doesn't get you all the way up to the 24 months that he imposed. Sure, there's a breach of trust. Sure, I'm not saying my client shouldn't be punished at all. To the contrary, we asked for 6 months.
The breach of trust can be greater when you've been shown prior leniency. Isn't that a reasonable thing for a judge to say, that the breach is greater here because you were shown leniency and instead of being law-abiding, you went back and committed the same type, you committed another violation?
I would suggest that is getting pretty close to the line, if not over it, to retribution. And in the facts and circumstances here, and the way the judge enunciated it here, without the benefit of Esteros, it crossed the line into retribution.
All right, let's hear from the government. You would reserve your time for rebuttal. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Frank Balsamello of the United States. I represent the government on this appeal, as I did in the district court below. Judge Gardefee did not err, much less commit any plain error, when imposing a low-end guideline sentence after the defendant violated supervised release first by selling cocaine and fentanyl, and then while awaiting sentencing after admitting that specification and while released on bail, again getting caught selling cocaine and heroin. That conduct, recidivism, while on bail in the very violation proceeding on which he was awaiting sentencing, was an obvious and extraordinary breach of the court's trust, And Judge Gardefee made clear that that breach of trust was his primary focus at sentencing. The defendant has read a few sentences from Judge Gardefee's comments and indicated that they violate Asteris by considering retribution for the underlying offense. And as your honors have noted, Judge Walker and Bianco, offense versus violation is critical here. Judge Gardefee drew that distinction in saying that he was looking at the seriousness of the violation. Had Judge Gardefee been focused on the seriousness of the underlying conduct, it's hard to imagine he would have bailed the defendant in the first place and given him the opportunity to work and prove he could be law-abiding. That's what Judge Gardefee did, and when the defendant reoffended, that breach of trust became pronounced, as did the significant needs for deterrence and to protect the public. This court has previously, just after our briefing in this case, into Jesus Melendez, which is docket 242067, noted the exact same sort of thing, that discussion of a sentencing judge about prior crimes in context is for a purpose of explaining why prison is needed to promote deterrence and to protect the public. Finding otherwise would be equivalent to saying every time at sentencing the court is looking at the PSR and all of the prior convictions, that they're punishing the defendant for all of those prior convictions, when in fact it's clearly the context for the application of the appropriate sentencing factors, which is what Judge Gardefee did here. Unless the court has any questions, we'll rest on our briefs.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly, based on Your Honor's questions, I would commend you to page 16 of our brief, in which an 11th Circuit case, Horn, which I think may have been cited in the government's brief, was on all fours with this, where the judge considered the nature and circumstances of the violations that bring Mr. Horn back before the court, the need to promote respect for the law and provide deterrence. And the court in that case, in the 11th Circuit, ruled that that was not enough to save the sentence from plain error, because using the word violation in lieu of the word offense was not a clear enough indication that the judge was not relying on retributive factors in that case. So it's another court analyzing very, very similar language that did go our way. Again, looking at the whole case, the underlying crime and the instant sentencing, it's clear enough. And the law, the state of the law at the time the judge ruled, the district judge ruled, it's clear enough that he was considering retribution for the very serious underlying crimes as well as the other factors.
Did he ever refer to the offense rather than to the violations? Did Judge Gardefee in this case?
Did he use the word...
When he was discussing the need to promote respect for the law or to provide just punishment and the seriousness of the violation, did he always refer to violation rather than the offense?
Well, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. I can't cite you chapter and verse. We were focused on his reference to the prior leniency and the criminal record of the defendant. I'm not denying that he was focused on the breach of trust and the new crimes. I mean, that was definitely driving the sentence. What I'm saying is he also plainly, under his own language, considered the factors that very day became prohibited factors.
All right, thank you both. We'll reserve decision. Have a good day.
Thank you, Your Honor.